three verses from that same chapter 4. Verses 24, 28, and 29. 24 reads, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 28, the woman then left her water pot and went on her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is this not the Christ? And also a supporting scripture, if you will, be found in the chapter before, St. John's chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So I want you to think on this thought today. Water from the well. Water from the well. Mm-hmm. And if I could use a subtopic in the form of a question, are you running for your life? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's all right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Bless Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yes. Oh, Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, we stand in your presence to report for duty because we know that you need the church to be the church. So with our whole heart, we pray that thy kingdom come and thine will be done. Move, Lord, have your way in this place, for I am your woman. These are your children. Move in a supernatural way, Lord, that our minds and hearts will be transformed to do thy will and thy way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Water from the well. But the bigger question is, are you running for your life? Because if anybody asks one of you, what's the matter with her? Will you be able to tell them that she's running for her life or he's running for his life? Will they see that by the life you live? Not just that you talk the talk, but do you walk the walk? That's the main thing, amen? Now, because the Pharisees was trying to incite competition between Jesus and John the Baptist, Jesus left the area of Judea and headed north for Galilee. That's up near Jerusalem. And he had three possible routes that he could take. Along the coast, or he could have went across the Jordan, right there at the Dead Sea, across the Jordan, and straight up that way through Perea. And then, or he could have went straight through Samaria. Now, common sense would tell you that straight is the quickest route. I'm always intrigued with maps and areas, and I have been to Jerusalem. I have been to Israel. I've seen the Holy Land, and it was a great, great experience. But when we was driving from Nazareth down to Jerusalem, we took the straight route. Now, we stayed on the coastline near Joppa, if y'all are familiar with where Jonah left out of. We stayed there in a town called Haifa. That's where we were staying. We flew into Tel Aviv, but straight is the quickest route. But the Orthodox Jews back in that day chose to take the long route around because they wouldn't be caught dead in Samaria. And see, they had a deep-seated hatred for the Samaritans, because the Samaritans was a mixed race. And see, some of them got left over during the Jewish captivity that stayed free when the Assyrians captured the Jews. So they began to mix with other races. And the Jews called them half-breed dogs. And they even had a nerve to set up a temple in Mount Gerizim, where the Jews held that to be a holy place for them. So they didn't want the half-breeds to set up a temple there. Are there any Bible readers in the house? I heard somebody say, this is one of our Bible lessons. This is one of our Sunday school. Amen. Oh, you remember the story of the Good Samaritan. That's when most people want to walk around to the other side or walk along the coastline. And there was this man who Jesus told a parable of course you're familiar with that he was robbed and beaten and left for dead. But those Jews, those Orthodox Jews, they didn't even stop to help him. So-called Christians didn't stop to help this man. But what did the Good Samaritan do? He stopped, bandaged up this man's wounds, put him on his donkey, took him to a hotel, maybe the Holiday Inn, I'm not sure. Took him down there, and he said to the innkeeper, and he said, I'm going to leave you some money, and whatever this man needs, you know, if he gets worse and y'all got to take him over to Baptist Hospital, whatever y'all got to do, go ahead and do that. I'm just working it to the day's time and age, okay? And he said, whatever you got to do, and when I come back through from my trip, I'm going to check on him, and whatever I owe you, I'll square it with you then, amen? But Jesus chose to go through Samaria. See, he was choosing to do what other Jews would not. And we too as Christians must get out here and do what other Christians will not. We must get out in the hedges and highways and call to a dying world. Show them by the way you walk, by the way you talk, that Jesus lives because he lives in you. Amen? Because Jesus was on a divinely appointed schedule, it was necessary that he go through Samaria. Why? Because he would meet a woman there and lead her to saving faith. The kind of faith where she would go running for her life and she would affect an entire village. Amen? He met a woman who realized that sin is not happy until it leaves your soul hungry and unsatisfied. Until the spirit is thirsty and dry. Until your mind is confused and perplexed. The tongue is vulgar and vicious. And sin is not happy until it leaves your life a mess and in shambles. But before this visit was over, her faith caused her to realize that greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am the lender and not the borrower. And she realized that Christ, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Amen? So ask your neighbor, are you thirsty? For you see, our Lord has no respecter of persons. In chapter 3, he counseled with a moral Jewish man. And here in chapter 4, he witnessed to an immoral Samaritan woman. Now, because she was Samaritan did not make her immoral, but it was the lifestyle she chose to use. You see, some Christians think you can do anything you want to do with who you want to do it with, but not so. Now, don't attack me. I'm just the messenger. If you disagree, you're going to have to take it up with my boss. Amen? Because that which God despises cannot be good for man. That which he hates cannot be lovely for man. That which he opposes cannot be suitable for man. And that which God condemns cannot be right for man. Because we serve a righteous God. Amen? Are y'all going to help me up in here? Amen. Y'all know a quiet church is not a good church. Amen? And the Bible says that Jesus was weary from his journey. So he came to the village of Sychar. And that's where Jacob's well was. And it was around the sixth hour, which was about lunchtime, 12 noon. And his disciples had went on into town for lunch. And Jesus was tired, so he sat down. And that's when the woman began to make her approach to the well. You see, all of us could put ourselves in her place, both male and female, because the most important thing is that she had an encounter with the Lord. Now, be careful right here not to point your finger, because her story sounds a lot like some of our stories. Amen?
Amen.
Middle Eastern women, of course, because of the heat, they would come in the early morning and late in the afternoon to fill their water pots. Amen? But why did she come at noon? Well, maybe because it was because of her bad reputation. Or maybe she was just tired. She didn't feel like hearing it today. She didn't want to see anybody. She didn't want to talk to anybody. And she sure didn't want to talk to those church girls. Amen?
Amen.
And you know how they do sometimes. Oh, girl, I love your hair. Oh, you look so good. I love that outfit. And time she walk away from the well, they talking about a girl. Y'all know how that goes. Amen, somebody. Now, although she didn't expect to see anyone at the well, and it probably caught her off guard, there was a man. She couldn't see who it was, but from a distance, all she knew is, oh, my goodness, there is a man. But she knew in Samaria that in those times, men didn't talk to women. So she may have felt, well, okay, men don't talk to women in public. They don't even talk to their wife. They don't talk to their mother. They don't even talk to their sister. So as she approached the well, I guess she said, well, it's going to be all right. But she had been let down by so many. She didn't want to see a man. She had been let down by so many men in her past who had promised her something and didn't come through with their promise. Amen? But then as she got closer, she noticed it was a Jewish man. And she was thinking, what in the world is he doing in our neighborhood? Jews don't want to be caught dead in Samaria. So as she got closer, she looked at him, but she said, well, I know he's not going to speak to me. Because Jews don't speak to male or females from Samaria, okay? But to her surprise, this man began to talk. You see, the Lord had to set aside social customs because an eternal soul stake was at stake. And certainly it surprised her for him to ask her for a drink of water. Of course, the Lord's request was a simple way to open the conversation and to share with her the truth about living water. Now, wouldn't it be nice if someone out here witnessing would be more like Jesus, who just simply started asking for a simple drink of water? And stop always beating people over the head. Most of the time that you need to get your life together, you need to come to church. Well, if a person doesn't have their life together, they already know that they need to get their life together. So tell them something they don't already know. Amen?
Amen.
And I like the way Jesus just shared it, just to open the conversation with her. Because he told Nicodemus that although a man is born of water, which implies the natural physical birth, he must be born of the Spirit, and that's the supernatural spiritual birth. How many of you know that flesh and the Spirit are two different things? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 6, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, Romans 8 and 8, he says, those who are in the flesh, that means living in the flesh, which is our corrupt nature, cannot please God. Amen?
Amen?
Well, the woman began to inquire about this water, and she hungered for the truth. So you've got to get hungry when you meet God. You never know when you're going to have a divine encounter with the Lord. You see, God meets you where you are. Most of y'all think, well, God's going to meet me here at church, so I better dress up and be on my best behavior, and the Lord just going to fall down on me at church, and oh, hallelujah. That's not where he always meets you at. That's not where he met me at. I'll tell you one thing. You could be in the grocery store. And you could be walking down aisle 2 and entering aisle 3. And you go, Jesus, is that you, Jesus? What are you doing here, Jesus? Or you could be in the club and you said, Jesus, oh my. As a matter of fact, I was just leaving, Jesus. Amen. But today, while he met her at the well, she heard something different. And the woman asked for this gift. Now, she didn't really know what she was asking for. But some of you may get upset at that part because you may say, Jesus, she was ready. Why didn't you go ahead and make an altar call right there? She was ready. But you see, the word fell on shallow soil. And the shoots of her curiosity sprang up, but it had no roots. In Matthew 13 and 20, in the New King James Version, he said, "But he that receives the seed in stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." Now, she had made progress, but she still had a long way to go. Jesus was patiently dealing with her. So, therefore, I wish I had time to preach up in here because I could tell you a lot more things about this chapter. But with the time we have, I'm going to move on. You see, he had to prepare the heart for the seed of the soil by plowing it up with conviction. Now, I remember when I was a police officer and I stopped many bad guys and I dealt with many people who was from another walk of life that I wasn't even familiar with. And they would rather lie than tell the truth. And most of the time when they got to prison, if they were holding on to that lie and the jury convicted them anyway, they didn't change. They didn't get any help. Because if you go in and you say, "Well, I didn't do that," well, then you come out the same way because you don't believe, you're telling everybody you still didn't do it. I went to jail for no reason. I didn't even do it. And therefore, you can't get any help. It's just like you go to an AA meeting. If you go to an AA meeting, you say, "I'm not an alcoholic," well, then you're not going to get any help because you're going to have to stand up there one day and admit, "I'm an alcoholic." And I've been clean so many days to encourage other people. Amen. So Jesus pops a pop quiz on this lady. And all he said was, "Go, call your husband, and come here." Why did Jesus do that? Well, the Lord had to check her vital signs. He had to check her heart condition. He had to know that she wanted to live. And he was willing to make a swap with her. And her response to his request was, "Well, it's going to take me too long to try to explain to him. Wait a minute." She just simply said, "I have no husband. Period. That's all I got." And so then he said in verse 17 and 18, "You have said true." He said, "I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one you're with now is not your husband. In that you have spoken truly." You see, he was not trying to shame her. He was not trying to be mean to her. Because in those days, anyway, a woman couldn't divorce a man. Only the men could divorce a woman. And a man could divorce a woman for any reason. He didn't get to know this woman until after he married her. So once he saw her, if she had blemishes on her body, he didn't want her, he could divorce her. If she was getting a little too heavy, he said, "You're getting a little too fat, baby." He didn't want her. If she couldn't cook, he could divorce her. And the way they divorced back in the Middle East is all they had to do is take her to a public place in front of witnesses and announce three times, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you." Wow. But obviously she felt like she might could trust this man. And it was different. And she just wanted to come clean with him because he wanted to swap with her. And he wants to swap with you today. Amen. And although he wanted to swap with her, but before you can value the real thing, you had to identify the counterfeit. Oh, y'all didn't hear me up in here. I said, before you can value the real thing, you have to identify the counterfeit. And see, he wants to make a divine swap with you. With what doesn't work, because you've tried everything, with what does work. Amen? He wants to fill you with a well that works from the inside out and not from the outside in, so that you'll know that greater is he that is in me than all this other stuff out here in the world. All this other stuff that you've tried. I'm not going to go naming some of the stuff because it might hit you where you're at. But all this other stuff, because I've tried some things myself. Amen? Amen. But you've got to take the same test. So the question is, what are you going to answer up when pops the pop quiz on you? Are you going to come clean and take off the mask? Because he already knows. First, there must be conviction and repentance, and then there can be saving faith. You see, Jesus had stirred up her emotions, but he had to touch her consciousness. That meant dealing with her sin. See, if you don't deal with the sin first, you can't accept him as your savior, because if you don't think you're a sinner, we all are sinners saved by grace. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Amen. See, all God is asking you to do is come clean. And he begins to work on your issues, because we all have issues. Amen. Amen. And not enough love. You see, so many times we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Uh-huh. Everybody got a secret. And some of us have several secrets. Amen? Amen. And our issues are our best kept secrets. And the last thing this woman wanted Jesus to know is her history of brokenness. The last thing we want somebody to know is that how many times we done been to jail. The last time we want somebody to know is that I was abused as a child. The last thing we want somebody to know is I'm banned from Walmart for life. I can't even go back in Walmart. That's pretty bad. But we get on Facebook and our hair's all laid down, our makeup's on, our eyebrows are on fleek, and we just got our hair cut and we put our best face on, and because we don't want anybody to know our issues. We want to make sure that everybody sees us the way we want to portray ourselves. And boy, I hear some people say, girl, I got 155 likes. Okay. But either way, that's us on Facebook. That's not in the real world. Amen. Jesus died that you might have the right to the tree of life and that you might have life more abundantly. Uh-huh. So you might as well come clean with him, because he already knows and he cares about you. Now, she had heard the Messiah was coming through. She had heard the Messiah was coming at some point in day, but she didn't really know how close he was. So, like most of us, she started changing the subject. You know how we talk, somebody talk and start asking us questions, and when we want to avoid that, we change the subject. So she then asked Jesus, where's the acceptable place of worship? Is it on Mount Gerizim or in Jerusalem? But the Lord wants us to know that the time has come and the time is now that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh those to worship him. And see, when she kept talking to Jesus, when she made that realization that he must be the one, she dropped her water pot and went running. You see, most Christians take off running for the first time when they let him in, but so quickly give out of steam, get mad, ready to church hop, get mad, ready to fight, get mad, don't even want to come back to church. Y'all know how that goes. Oh, yeah. Nobody in here has done that, I'm sure. But either way you look at it, in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11, the race is not won to the swift, but to those who endureth to the end. Amen. And see, she went running. She didn't run back home and say, well, wait a minute, I got to make sure I lock my door, turn my pots off. She went running. Uh-huh. She didn't even worry about her water pot sitting there. She took off and she went running. And you know, she even dropped protocol. She even dropped protocol, because it says that the women didn't talk to the men. But she didn't think about that. And see, she wanted her testimony to be a witness to somebody else. Because she knew if he knew my past, he must know my future. Amen? Amen. So she went to the men and everybody else in the town and she said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And see, we've got to get like that. We can't worry about if they're black or white. We can't worry about if it's a male or female or our little personal group. We've got to get running and tell everybody that we meet about Jesus. So she told everybody, and that affected a whole village. Amen? Amen. See, God wants to worship in your temple, but God is not going to take second place. He wants to be first. And that's why he went to Calvary, so that you might realize that there is nobody who can love you like he does. Because it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It was his love. Uh-huh. And you see, his love can cover everything that we go through. And we've got to stop looking for love in all the wrong places. Now, as I close, consider that maybe the reason he stopped by the well that day was because he knew he was on his way to that old rugged cross. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when he looked down from the cross, although his body was racked in tremendous pain and suffering, and although his face was covered with his blood and perspiration, I believe he could still see. And when he looked down from the cross, I believe he saw his mother kneeling at his nail-pierced feet. I believe he saw his disciples and friends standing nearby. I believe that he saw the two thieves as they hung on either side. And I believe not only that he looked down through time and he saw a world filled with violence. He saw people filled with jealousy. He saw minds filled with confusion and frustration. And I believe he saw liars lying. He saw thieves stealing. He saw cheaters cheating. He saw the alcoholic at his bottle. He saw the drug dealer at his dope. Yeah. And he saw murderers who were killing. But he still died for every one of us. That's enough to say amen. Amen. We got to thank Jesus every day just for what he did for us. I believe he also saw those who would receive him as their Lord and Savior. And not only that, I believe that he saw Sunday morning coming. I believe that he saw his resurrection from the grave with all power in his hands. And I believe he saw his ascension into heaven, where he sits at the Father's right hand and makes intercessions for us. And I believe he saw his soon return, because he is coming back. Amen. You might as well get ready, because he's coming back again. And that includes the fact that I believe that he looked down to this present day and he saw you and he saw me. And I'm talking about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who can do all things but fail us. He knows all things. He seeth all things. He can be everywhere even at the same time. I'm talking about the lily of the valley. I'm talking about the bright and morning star. I'm talking about Jesus, who said, I am Alpha and Omega. Jesus who is here and will always be here. Jesus who was first and who will be last. I'm talking about Jesus who we owe all the praise and all the glory.
Yeah.
And I thank God for who he is. I thank God for him being in my life. I thank God that one day I walked down that aisle and I wasn't ashamed. Because he had given me that living water. And all I had to do was come down front and confirm that. See, he's going to meet you where you are, like I said. It might be somewhere else outside the church. But I wanted the church to know, and I wanted to be baptized again, to let the church know, and my brothers and sisters be encouraged, God will meet you where you at.